Sans Pants Radio, Australia's hottest podcast network.
Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Baseless Speculation. All the pop culture news and none of the research, so you don't have to. I'm Joel.
And I am Alexi.
Now boys, what do we think is going to happen in the new James Bond film, No Time to Die?
Let it be known that we watched the trailer for this mere moments ago, yet when the episode was introduced, Joel Zeman had to look back to his laptop to remember the title of this film.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, so, James Bond, they have the most generic titles. They all blend together. They've always got a die, finger perhaps is in there.
Yeah.
The word gold appears in almost, I think, three or four of them.
There's definitely two comes
Golden
to mind.
Golden Gun, Goldfinger.
Oh. Yes, the Golden Eye.
There we go.
Golden Eye, as the song goes.
Yeah, great song.
Yeah, one of my favorites.
That song was written by U2.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, Bono and Edge, at least. Yeah. I don't know about the other two guys.
Adam Mullen didn't do much on it.
Yeah.
He wasn't there.
And Larry Clayton. No, isn't it? Larry Clayton. It doesn't matter. Larry Clayton.
Yes.
Anyway, welcome to the show, Alexi. Thank you for coming on.
It is my pleasure to be here and baselessly speculate with you boys.
Our resident Bond expert,
oh,
I can only
gosh.
Assume.
Yes. I mean, I told you how many had gold in the title, and I was only off by one.
And also, a lot of them seem to do like a time aspect as well, like either tomorrow, yesterday, today.
Yes, right now.
Right now, no time like the present to die.
So we've got Alexi as the expert, but I would just like to reveal that I own the 50th anniversary Blu-ray box set of the James Bond films.
And how many of them have you seen?
Okay, so in that box set, they left space for the release of Skyfall, which I then bought separately and included, put into the box.
That's right. I had the same thing when I bought a box set of Married with Children. And it came out for some reason, and this was like this was
marriage.
Years after Married Children, of course, had been off air. But for some reason, they were like season like 12, 13, and 14 are not included in this box set. You got to buy it separately.
My
but they
God.
Included the DVD like case.
Yeah,
I don't know why they did this.
So whack because they're like rolling the dice. Like we pray we're going to be picked up for reunion in like 5 years, but and you're going to want to buy that too.
Douche,
I'm going to upgrade you right here.
Uh-huh.
I also own that 50th anniversary box set. I also own the Spectre. I also own Skyfall. I chucked that in. I also bought Spectre on DVD, Blu-ray, hybrid edition. And I had to make space by forcing it into the booklet part because there were no other disc lots for it. Did you purchase?
The person who designed this was just like, yep, there's going to be one here. What happens after? I don't know. Reckon bundle last?
Yeah. Nah.
Well,
Skyfall, that's what it ends.
And like a loose DVD next to it or something.
You get the, so this box set came in two different shapes. One was like a cube.
Yes.
And one was like a big, long rectangle. Which one do you have?
I have the big long rectangle that doesn't fit on a shelf.
Yeah.
You have to put it really high, otherwise you're going to knock your head if you come into the room too fast.
And I have the cube.
Oh my God. You know what? I would die to own the cube.
Yeah, it's a great cube. Looks good on my shelf. It fits.
And Cube, in fact, is almost the name of one of the most beloved characters from the James Bond franchise, Q.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a reference? I think so.
I hope so.
Do you reckon
to find out if your surname is actually B.E.
do you reckon when they finally release the 25th, like the 25th Bond film, is this correct? 25th?
Yes, correct.
Okay, cool. Yep. So when they release that as a big box set, do you think they're going to do the usual cube or rectangle or do something whack like an oval?
Yeah.
I think the Bond franchise is clearly not frightened to take risks and also reinvigorate the game.
What about a case, but in the shape of a large PP7? I think that's the name of the gun.
So PP7 is GoldenEye Nintendo 64 gun.
Yes.
But often he uses a Walter PK something. Might also be PK7.
Or in the shape of an Aston
Martin.
Yes. Not Martian, like I was about to say.
Aston Martian. That is what I hope the next movie is. Goes to Mars.
Well, Bond hasn't been to space for a while.
Yeah, it's been a couple of minutes.
Yeah. I honestly think that No Time to Die will come in a triangle-shaped box. Okay. So a shape they haven't tried before.
Yeah. What about, though, an Aston Martin, right? Mm-hmm. But it's like in a big like model.
Shape of a car, yeah.
Shape of a car, but you just press a button, the boot opens up, and that's where you put in all your DVDs.
I'd like that. It's like a life-size one. Yeah. It's the guy selling you the discs out of his boot. That would be dope.
Yeah. I feel like that in the height of... When you would go to like markets and swap meets and stuff, and you would purchase pirated DVDs, the Bond collection as like a group of like all the movies for like $50 on burnt DVDs, I can imagine that being sold out of a man's boot. Absolutely. And I want this box set to come in
out of a boot.
Yes, to remind me of those nostalgic times.
Yeah. And again, we can try and get like a deal with Hot Wheels so that we can get like a bit of racetrack. We can kind of like
so it does the loop and then shoots out the DVD. Perfect.
Oh, right.
Straight into
like
the player. You gotta get it in there.
Cool. And then, as obviously the first thing he hears, because that's like as it goes,
it's actually part of the theme song. You may not know this. Us two Bond nerds, we do know it.
Okay.
So, No Time to Die, the long delayed Bond film. This is probably the most delayed Bond film, I'd say.
Oh, I'm going to check my circuits. I think it is.
Yeah, it's been delayed 3 times. It was initially meant to be released in March of 2020, which all of those time heads out there would realize was last year.
Yeah.
It's actually been 14 months since then. Huge. Then it got pushed back due to something that we in the biz like to call COVID-19.
I like to call it Coronavirus 19.
I like to call it the novel.
Well, it's been adapted to films.
That's true. You're right.
It's for something called novel coronavirus. It certainly did impact the silver screen.
Absolutely. Publishing probably not too shabby these days.
That's one adaptation I didn't want to see, but here we are.
Because I feel like you could carry, like, you know, with a novel, like that could be full of germs. I could pick that up. I don't know who's handled that novel, but silver screen. I can't really contract anything through my eyebrows, can I?
Well, apparently I've heard you can.
Unfortunately,
I've heard that's one of the ways.
Put all my money in this.
It's a real dog shit situation for us all.
Guys, I got to sell a lot of things right now.
Yeah, all these t-shirts say contraction through your eyes. All these bumper stickers. The eyes are the safest window to the soul there is.
I was going to invent a new style of kissing, which is mostly just eyes.
Put a lot of money into this.
It's going to save Tinder. Shit. Guys, I fucked it. I cooked it bad.
So, then I think the release date was pushed back to September 2020. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, COVID.
It didn't disappear. It
didn't go away.
You know, there was a fella once upon a time who said, one day it's all going to disappear. And it didn't.
Yeah. He famously wrong.
Yeah.
Ah. So, damn. Yeah. COVID-19, even though it was 19, it started to become COVID-20.
Yeah.
Bond unfortunately got pushed back.
I think it was November. I think they even got pushed back to November then.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we've had another pushback. It was meant to then, I think, March again.
And now it's back to October, but 2021.
Okay.
A full 2 years. So it's been a long time in the making.
So when was it meant to come out? It was meant to come out in
November. March 2020. Yeah.
Okay.
March,
April. So it was like finished.
Yes. Yeah.
And now it's been delayed.
They even released the song. Billie Eilish put a song together for No Time to Die. It had already been pre-released to start building that hype. I even went to David Jones' famous department store in Australia recently, and they still had James Bond No Time to Die merchandise out. And I'm not talking like a toy gun. I'm not talking an Aston Martin Hot Wheels. They had a Royal Dalton ceramic bulldog, which apparently Ralph Fiennes as M has on his desk.
What?
Yes.
What?
There's a lot to take in there.
It had already gone. The movie's not out yet. It was on sale prices by the time I saw it.
So
what?
The
porcelain bulldog?
Yes. We haven't seen the film yet, but we can speculate that that appears in the film.
Do you reckon that's going to be like an important integral part of the film?
I think enough that I reckon my idea of how the bulldog plays a part in it is that James Bond enters M's office after a long hiatus. I have reason to believe James Bond may have gone rogue, just like he has in every single other Daniel Craig entry so far. He's off the books. He's declared dead, but now he's doing even more special agent stuff. He comes into M's office like, well, hello, M. It's been a few minutes since I've seen you. And he goes, M's like, well, yes, it is. And they just stare at the dog. He's like, that's quite nice, isn't it? Yes, it is. And I reckon that's it. Gets a good money shot in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
One of those famous James Bond quips. I think see a few things have changed around here. Gestures to the dog. M's like, indeed. Yes.
What if he just like bursts in and he's like, oi, I'm not dead. What the fuck is that? And he points at this bulldog and then he's like, it was a gift from the Queen.
Yes. It's from Royal Dalton, don't you know?
You can buy it right now at David Jones on sale. And then the tag for David Jones, which is there's no place like David Jones. Is that right?
I like David Jones.
Yeah.
I like the idea that the on sale part is ADR because obviously the original film. Yeah.
Full price. Or do we think it's going to be like a sort of iRobot situation where Will Smith was like advertising Reebok or Nike or whatever?
Yes.
And he's just like, they're vintage. And it's like Ralph Fiennes wearing the dogs. Mm. And he's like, vintage. And it's like he puts his feet up.
And you hear the little clinky.
Clink, clink. Clinky. And it's just like, yes, they're my porcelain slippers. Yeah.
Okay, so I think that what will happen is it'll have a USB in it.
Ooh.
Oh,
and okay. Bond
some
will,
chip.
Yeah, Bond will crack it open at one point and pull the USB out, and M will be like, that was a very expensive gift.
Yeah.
And Bond will be like, shut up, M. What is his famous James Bond quips?
Shut up, leave me alone.
For fuck's sake, M. Doing secret agent shit.
I think he'll smash it open to get the USB.
Oh, yeah, big time. Oh,
well, I've made a dog's breakfast out of this.
Oh, very good. Or there might be, say, like a recording device in it, and that's how the enemy is recording Ralph Fiennes' dialogue. So it was just like, we have to, you know, do this. And James Bond looks at it. He's like, who gave you this delicious gift? And he's like, it was blah, blah, blah. He's like, enemy. And it's psh.
Yeah. Here's another one. He goes, M's like, okay, yes, Bond, there's some international terrorists after you. He goes, well, it actually looks like there's some international terrier.
Really?
And he's pointing at the little paw where the paws connect to the leg.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
These are terrier wrists.
do we know what is it? Rami Malek is the villain. Mm-hmm. Do we know if he goes by like some kind of dog kind of themed name?
Wow.
No, maybe where it's just like he's actually called the Alsatian. The Alsatian is like a kind of dog, just like this French bulldog here. And then he's like, there's a USB recording device in it.
I've looked up his name. He plays Lucifer Safin.
Okay, now is that a type of dog?
Lucifer Terriers are a real thing.
Oh my god. Okay. So the things we know about this film, so it's it was one of the first movies to get delayed because of COVID, but is now one of the last ones to get released after that.
The most continually delayed. Mm-hmm. First one always to get delayed in every batch.
Yeah, which is strange because like A Quiet Place Part 2, which has recently just got released, that was delayed a week before No Time to Die, but now it's come out. And that movie apparently feels very much like a COVID film, so that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I saw a poster for Quiet Place Part 2 yesterday that was like, coming May 27. I'm like, I've got no idea if this is an old poster or they just put it up now. Could be either.
And Peter Rabbit 2 was the other film, but that also got released. So.
I've heard that's actually worse than coronavirus. Oh, it's got James Corden in it, dude.
That truly sucks.
I heard that if you get to pick between one or the other, but you gotta do one.
Alexa, you'll be happy to know that in Peter Rabbit 2, Peter Rabbit, who is played by James Corden, there is a scene where he directly addresses that people find his voice annoying.
Oh, okay, I love it.
Yeah.
And people seem to hear rumors that I'm an asshole.
I may just be a little bunny rabbit in this. Oh, wait. That went into like almost
Cotney,
Ricky Gervais.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, I am. The bunny rabbit.
Oh, are you offended by my voice? Yeah. Oh, am I too edgy? I'm Peter Rabbit. I'm a cheeky little bunny. I'll steal your fucking vegetables.
Now, is Peter Rabbit going to appear in as a kind of like a cross? No, not in the bottom.
James Corden, good. I'm very, very happy to see, because James Corden is the exact type of actor that the Bond franchise would put in as like a Q or something. And I'm glad they did it.
Yes, thank you. Well, actually, Oh, no. Ben Whishaw was meant to play. Oh, he plays Paddington.
Yeah. He took over from Colin Firth.
Yeah, okay. Thank God. Paddington and Peter Rabbit, you know? There, but for the grace of God, go one of them. That's it. One of them chose the right path, one of them did not.
Well, if I was a betting man, I would put money on a bear mauling a rabbit.
Peter Rabbit, a commercial darling. Paddington, critical darling.
Yeah, exactly.
No Time to Die
is a...
It can sometimes split. Be both.
Okay. It's split, dude.
Yeah.
Okay, so this film, I guess, continues from all of Daniel Craig's films.
So yeah. Daniel Craig's
now,
movies
does any of them remember any of them?
Well, Daniel Craig's films have the, like, probably the, like, strongest plot connection between them from any of the Bond actors.
They're not so standalone, you know?
Yeah. Some of them work as standalones, but then others don't. So, like, Quantum of Solace, for instance, if you have not seen Casino Royale, you have no fucking idea what's going on.
Or if you forgot Casino Royale, the moment you like enter that cinema and you're like, the fuck is going on?
Or if you've seen Casino Royale a week earlier and then you watch Quantum of Solace, which was made during the writer's strike and was apparently even Daniel Craig was having to crack at writing some of the script. Yep. It is a very confusing mess of a film. Skyfall has moments that reference these, but not heaps, and works mostly as a standalone film.
It certainly does.
Spectre follows on from some of the elements of Skyfall, and this looks also like it could be a direct sequel to Spectre, so we might end up with a James Bond trilogy.
I would think so.
Because with Spectre, because I also watched Spectre, and that seemed to be like referencing a lot of the other films, like Thick and Fast.
Yes.
And it seemed to be like all those things that we had before, they were actually all part of Blofeld's.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because there was like Quantum, I believe, was the name. I'm just trying to remember. I've not researched this. It could be called something else, like, you know, Octavians or something. I don't think it's called Octavians. I just said that because it was the first word that I thought of, and I don't know why I had octopus on the brain.
Octavian.
Well, Spectre was the evil brand, yeah?
Exactly. It's the evil brand that's Blofeld and shit. And so they had Quantum, I believe, was the name of the new generation one, because Spectre was co-owned by another production company. So it's, you know, they can't use it without paying out. But then the rights reverted back to the Broccolis, and they could do it. Broccolis actually are the producers of James Bond. I'm not just saying the vegetable. They are linked. The Broccolis are the owners of the James Bond brand and franchise. And they also are the same people that actually invented broccoli. Like, it is that's true. I'm not making that up. They actually are, like, broccoli is named after these people.
So they invented broccoli and James Bond.
Yeah, well, they bring James Bond to the scene.
Ian Fleming invented James Bond.
And Ian Fleming invented phlegm, dude. Yeah. He was the first guy to cough one up.
He was like, get all this moisture build up in the back of my throat. And, come here. It's getting thicker. Give me something I can spit into. What is this? Wow.
It's a porcelain bulldog.
And the symbol of Spectre is an octopus, isn't it? Or like tentacles. Maybe why you were thinking of Octavius.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm not that fucking weird, okay? It wasn't that weird that I said it.
Christoph Waltz, who plays Blofeld, I could also imagine him as Doc Ock, tying back into the Octavius thing.
Oh, marvelous Doc Ock. And I said marvelous for similar reasons why I said Octavius.
One, because it was the first word that came to your head. Two, loose connections to what we were talking
absolutely.
about.
Absolutely.
So it's going to be a direct sequel to Spectre.
Well, we see in the trailers that Blofeld is in jail, one of those famous James Bond jails that we keep seeing in the franchise, which is just a glass cube.
Hey, they love these glass cubes.
Quick question. This may be a dangerous question. What happened in Spectre?
I haven't seen it.
Okay, let me try to remember what happens in Spectre.
They did something to James Bond's brain, right?
Yeah, they did. They were like injecting his brain with things.
Okay, that is,
or drilling his brain, I think.
They made his brain wrong for a bit.
I think so, for a second. A hot second.
Made his brain wrong.
They made his brain wrong.
They drilled into his brain.
And they made it wrong.
And he was strapped in a chair. Yeah, yeah. He started going like, I'm a label. He started singing, well, I'm an angel. But then they, yeah, that I remember they there was a resort, like a spa resort that they had to go to like in the Alps or something, like in a snow area.
I remember they had a conversation in a ski lift.
Yes. It's that's the area. And there's like, they had, I remember there was a green juice he has there. Where he's like, vodka martini shaken on soda. He's like, actually, there's a health spa. I can give you wheatgrass and you can fuck off. That was a scene in the movie. Batiste is in it. He plays like a kind of Jaws-esque henchman who's silent. Yeah. The Bond girl is the magnificent style of French cinema, Léa Seydoux.
Oh, fuck.
Yes. And she's in this one. I believe she is Blofeld's daughter in my memory. And James Bond loves her. Daniel Craig has had his Vespa. He fell in love with her.
Yep.
And now he's all in love with her.
Not the motorbike.
Oh, a little bit of both. A little bit of both.
Isn't he Blofeld's brother?
Yes, that's the other thing. There's,
ah, right.
So but it's Austin Powers-y style. Mm, where
he
it's
wants
like,
to fuck his niece?
Oh, maybe she's not his daughter, but I don't think they're actually brothers.
Or maybe they are. Who knows? Maybe they're like, whatever.
I don't think they're actually brothers. I think that James Bond's an orphan, and he was raised by the same family as Blofeld.
So we're doing
the Pornhub thing of step.
Yeah. So is this one of the very first and maybe only pro-incest Bonds we've seen on cinema?
I would almost, I have no references off the top of my head, but I would almost be willing to put money on the fact
it
that
might be.
Roger Moore probably fucks his cousin at some point.
Yeah. Sally Bond. I like a bit of that. What you got there?
Oh, she's like, the name's Sally Bond. And he just looks at the camera and is like, shit.
Yeah. Oh, my bad.
I wish I asked for her name last night.
So this looks like it's going to tie directly into Spectre, solely because we see Blofeld, we get...
his niece is in it.
It's Bond's
sexy niece.
Yeah. Sexy niece that he's shacking up with?
Maybe,
yeah. Something weird. Because they keep being like, hey, there's that secret. And then there's that bit where he walks down a corridor and he's like, keep you cool. And he's like, I'm going to keep my cool.
Yeah.
And then he sees him. He's like, my cool's lost.
Yeah, I've fucking lost my mind is what he says.
So I'm guessing something happened there.
Yeah. And also isn't Spectre also sort of a remake of On Her Majesty's Secret Service? Does it have the Bond's wife getting... No, because that happens.
No, I think that's what people were speculating this could be, because she is returning character.
Yeah, and usually when Bond characters return, couple of bullets in the brain.
Bond's niece wife?
Felix, he's around.
He's around, yep.
He's around. Who's Bond's wife?
Well, okay, so in the original movie, it's the same fucking series, but...
George Lazenby, Aussie Bonds.
Yeah.
On Her Majesty's Secret Service, one that was critically panned at the time, but now on reevaluation, people often consider one of the best.
Is this the one where he drops Blofeld in a chimney?
No. I think that is Thunderball.
Okay.
Thunderball!
Another great song.
Actually, then Thunderball is Tom Jones, I think, sings it. It's like, oh, Thunderball! We got the Thunderball!
My balls are full of thunder!
And they're gonna chunder!
That's come. Okay. So is James Bond a series people take seriously?
Oh,
sort of.
Yes.
Okay.
But I think now they take it very seriously, because I think they've tried to, like, go... I remember seeing interviews where they were like I think Purvis and Wade, who are like the writers of James Bond these days, since the Brosnan era, I think, they're like, oh yeah, Austin Powers fucked us. The spy who shagged him, that's us. They fucked us.
Yeah.
Because they're like, we have to go really serious now because we can't go the camp route. And then I think because Jason Bourne was also so serious, they also like had to go, okay, we have to pivot like in a different direction because of that.
There's a lot of things like post the Brosnan era to now, Bond series has been fucked by everything because up until that point, Bond films were kind of like, everyone was like, oh shit, this is what the Bond films are doing.
Yeah.
That's like a very serious thing. But then other movies kind of caught up around the Brosnan era. Most of the Brosnan films are also bad, which didn't help. Austin Powers happens. They come back. Jason Bourne's happening, so that's why there's that weird parkour scene at the start of Casino
Royale. And also Jason Biggs is happening, that's why he fucks a little Akeesh in one of the movies. Yeah, yeah.
We've got to connect to the youth. Yeah. What do they love?
They love the JBs. They love all the JBs.
Just the idea of being like, yeah, grab a martini.
And that quiche looks all right.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is that a mini quiche or a full one?
Yeah, we'll just tell M that we eat it all.
And then, like, now we're getting to the point where, and you can see it in the trailer for this, No Time to Die, where, like, both the Mission Impossible franchise, which has gone from kind of like would have been in the shadow of Bond to now being one of the biggest action franchises in existence with the most fucked stunts.
I would actually also say that's a thing I forgot. Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation and Spectre came out the same year and they had very, very similar plots. Mm-hmm. Very, very similar plots.
Mm. You'll be shocked to hear what happens in Rogue Nation. Ethan Hunt goes rogue.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. He goes fully Ghost Protocol, dude.
What?
Yeah, he becomes a ghost.
Yeah, it's fucked.
Didn't that happen in the
Yeah, it happens in all of this.
Wait,
I think Fallout, he also does it. So does Bond. They love going Ghost
in
Protocol.
In 3? Does he go?
He goes 3.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Sweet Chili Philly.
Yeah. Does he go rogue
also,
for a bit? In 1, he goes rogue.
Mission Impossible 3 also has the most, sounds like that I wrote a film aspect, which is, what if the villain put bombs in people's heads? In their brain.
In
it blows up their brain and then their eyes go fucked and it's horrifying to see.
Did the theme song.
That is number 2.
That's 2. Damn. Yeah,
that's one of the most fucked movies I've ever seen.
3.
It's set in Sydney, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Want to see
of me?
Want to see some Ford Falcons get shot?
Yeah.
It looks like a very expensive episode of Water Rats, basically, because it's filmed around Sydney Harbour at the turn of the millennium.
Three is the one where he's Tom Cruise has the best hair, right?
Two is the one where he's got the best hair. It's long and fucked.
Flappy.
Yeah,
he's got that flappy bird hair.
Yeah.
That's the other one. Was that John Woo? Yeah, that was a good film.
I agree.
Such good hair.
I agree with it.
It's also so funny as a sequel to the first Mission Impossible, because the first Mission Impossible is very grounded. Ethan Hunt's in over his head the whole time.
Yeah. Very Hitchcockian. It's directed by Brad De Palma.
Yeah. And one of his least perverted films.
Yeah,
Emilio Estevez gets got by an elevator.
Yeah, he gets fucking impaled.
Absolutely mucked up. Dude.
Yeah, he cops it. Yeah. One of the most fucked deaths.
He looks up and the elevator is like, you fucked, boy.
Yeah.
Straight through his face.
I'm squished.
Yeah. Well, Mission Impossible, I guess the Brian De Palma's original Mission Impossible film would have also probably ended up impacting Bond anyway, because his original vision of it was to bring back the cast from the 60s TV show.
Yeah.
Have Tom Cruise in it still, but the original crew were going to get killed off, and the hero of the original series was going to turn out to be the villain of the film.
That pretty much is.
This is pretty much what happened, isn't it?
Yeah, except it was with the original actors. Yeah.
But not John Voight.
Yeah. But then the guy who played him in the series was like, no, he would never do- fuck yeah, you. Exactly. He would never do that.
Oh,
and the true fans believe that too.
They were very upset. But so stuff like that is all happening around. Spy films really took off. Bond gets to the point now where it's borrowing from other action franchises, and this trailer looks very John Wickian.
It does, doesn't it? The colors are very in that Wick language. You got some purples, you got some bluey, chromey colors. Yep.
And I can hear a lot of people screaming into their phones right now. Yes, Skyfall did have a scene that did it first.
Yes, there was the jellyfish. Yes, of course, Roger Deakins did a marvelous job doing the freaking lighting and cinematography in that sequence. But yes, okay, we have to acknowledge that.
Yeah, we
I'm sorry, but I just can't imagine James Bond owning a dog.
What if it was a little ceramic?
Maybe.
We're talking about that Christmas bird. All right.
No Time to Die's plot is the same as John Wick's, except he just knocks a thing off M's desk and then has to get revenge.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking I'm going to need to put that back together again, okay?
So we've all, obviously, as we keep referencing, we've watched the trailers for this. It's going to tie very much heavily into Spectre, which you don't even need baseless speculation to come and tell you that. You figured it out.
Spectre Nation. Yeah. You don't have to worry about that. We know it.
Exactly. Blofeld is there.
Yeah,
his sexy niece is also there.
Yes.
There is a new 007 because Bond is either quits at the end of Spectre, a movie I haven't seen, or is presumed dead at the end of Spectre but isn't actually dead.
He's gone Rogue Nation. He's gone Ghost Protocol.
Yeah. He's Fallout.
Yes, he's Skyfallen.
He's Skyfallen.
There's something wrong with his brain.
Yeah.
Didn't that make him
Yeah, he's like, I gotta take some time off. My eyes aren't looking together properly.
They full on drilled his brain, right?
I gotta take some off. I've got a wobbly eye at the moment. I gotta get it fucking put together again. They drilled him or something.
They did something fucked.
Yeah.
Take some time off, bud.
Daniel Craig has absolutely copped it.
He's like 70 years old these days.
And in Casino Royale, he gets whipped in the balls heaps by Mads Mikkelsen.
Great. More like Nads Nicholson.
Yeah. He's obsessed with whacking his nards off. Yeah. In the second one, Quantum of Solace, the villain, did he do scream kicks?
Can't remember. Can't remember
scream
him.
Kicks.
Yeah, he would kick, but then he'd do like a real like scream.
I can't even. I think it was Matthew Almerich. Maybe. I'm trying to remember who the villain was. I think it was Matthew Almerich.
I just remember it being a very comical scene because he'd do these like big kicks to Bond, but then he'd be like screaming real loud. Take me out of the film.
Exactly. Maybe he does that. Ha! Like that.
That's more of like a trill, like a
Quantum of Solace, officially it rocks.
Anywho.
So,
do you think we've got some trilling villains in this one?
I don't think so. Blofeld, not much of a triller.
Malek's doing something weird, though.
Can we just quickly talk? So Rami Malek is the villain of this film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He seems to be playing a character very similar to the villain in Die Another Day.
And very similar to the villain of those ads that Rami Malek did to camera. Was like, I'm a fan of my mom. I like warm milk. And I like walking on the beach with my partner, Sandy Summer Nights. Have you seen those?
Yeah, he's like biting his lip and looking very whimsical at the camera, but he's got shark eyes.
It's very menacing. Yeah. Someone did a recut of them with like the Us theme song, like the soundtrack from the movie Us, and it's like just him down the camera telling us things that he likes, but he does it very slowly.
Yeah.
I like warm apple pie.
We'll just tell.
I've heard it feels very similar to something I'm dying to try out.
Rami Malek also wore fake teeth for Bohemian Rhapsody, but I feel like it has, and not many people talking about this, but it seems like it has actually fucked up his face. Because if you look at any of his film roles or his role in the television series Mr. Robot, if you look at the shape of his mouth and his jaw and that, versus how he looks now, it looks like the prosthetics did some serious damage to him.
Wow.
Also, he's very annoying to look at.
And in this movie, he does have like a scar face going on.
He's got some going on there.
Yeah.
Looks like a chemical attack.
Yeah.
So like the porcelain mask that we see, porcelain mask, porcelain dog.
I reckon that's a scene in the movie where someone does that. The dog's porcelain. What else? And they just put something together. That seems like a scene in the movie.
Yeah.
That's going to happen.
So yeah, Rami Malek, we see the porcelain mask unfucked, and then we see him where he's wearing it later on. I find it exploded.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing we see him where he's wearing it normally, where it hasn't been exploded, and then we get something where it explodes, that fucks up his face, then he gets it delivered, and he's like, my mask?
Yeah. I from seeing these trailers, we just watched all three of them, let it be known. I don't know if we've said that yet, but we have just watched three trailers for this movie. I think Rami Malek looks really scary and cool in this movie. I think that he is actually very well cast as a Bond villain. I'm not a massive fan of him, or some of his past work, rather, I should say. And I think that he feels like uniquely equipped to do the weirdness a Bond villain does.
Similar to Mads Mikkelsen, I guess,
who
was perfectly cast also.
Yes.
So
I like his blue jacket he was wearing.
Do we think that we're going to get like an opening to this film very similar to... Okay, so the movie will probably actually open on Bond doing fuck knows what he's doing, probably on a beach or drinking beers.
I reckon it's going to open with the new 007.
Oh.
I reckon that's what's going to be opening with. That'll be the cold open with the new 007. And maybe it will be a reveal where we think it's our 007, where they're like, okay, 007, you have to jump on that train and disarm this bomb. All right, you got that, love? And then they get, then when they say 007's on board, I'm like, oh shit. And the doors open. I don't know if it's going to be on a train. I've just decided. That's not part of the speculation.
Reference to the Skyfall thing where he jumps on the train and adjusts his tie, which is a cool scene.
Very cool scene. Bond, they love their trains. So does Mission Impossible. But then they go, oh, 007's here, and open the door. And it's like, what the heck? It's a hot chick?
Yeah.
Hang on a tick. And then it's like, "Oh, were you expecting someone else?" And then like, "Oots, oots, oots!" Starts like fucking murking motherfuckers
fucking
in
lighting
there.
Them up.
Yeah, just going fucking nuts. It's like, "Oh, you know, it's not a fucking, it's a man eat man world, and I'm about to fucking eat some men up or something because it's a female bond.
So,
it's been like, controversial."
So in
female
that scene, so the train doors open up, and there's like Lady Bond, she's there, or Lady 007 is there. And so do you reckon like the villains might be like aiming, but then they kind of like
start
either laughing or they like look behind her to be like, "Well, where's the where's Bond?" And then she's like and then just
absolutely murking. She's a sideways tilting them and stuff like that.
Do we think that maybe she'll just shoot all the villains directly in the penis?
Yes.
RoboCop style.
Is it RoboCop style?
We love it.
I think that that would be, I mean, everything we just said would make the bravest cold open to a Bond film ever. But even just the idea of like tricking the audience thinking you're seeing 007 on him. Or even if it's just like a shot from like,
well, again, if it's all in like sort of like that camo-y sort of gear, and like almost like that Splinter Cell with everything's very dark and green lights everywhere.
Or you're only seeing close-ups, but they're wearing a helmet, so you're not like, you don't see their body.
And everyone's just calling them 007.
Yeah, and they're like, 007's on the way, and you go, well, the number's been replaced.
Yeah. And so, yeah, you're seeing like,
Booka, booka!
Yeah, you
this
see,
is getting
like,
really close
of guns
to Ali G. Do we think Ali G will make an appearance in this?
I would have loved to see Sacha Baron Cohen do Bond. I actually think that would be really wonderful.
Whoa, that would be, I mean, he got to play Grimsby. That's that's pretty
very
close.
Very similar. If you see Grimsby, you would probably be thinking these must be inspired by the James Bond films.
The scene where him and Mark Strong, who plays Sacha Baron Cohen, the Brothers Grimsby, which is what the film is known in some areas of the world, when they hide inside an elephant vagina.
Yeah.
And then there is a scene where a male elephant comes to fuck the female elephant whose vagina they're hiding
in. They're hiding inside of it.
And then they realize they've got to make the elephant come so it leaves. So then they jerk off the elephant inside the elephant's vagina and then get sprayed with cum, but Mark Strong falls over, so he's also getting fucked by the elephant, and then everyone gets covered in cum, and then the camera pulls out, and there's a huge line of elephants, and they have to jerk off all the elephants, and then later on...
Because word has spread that, like, this actually feels really fantastic. Fellas, you got to try this.
And then the next scene, Mark Strong is shitting and talking about shitting out elephant cum. So just
directly ripped from James Bond, Spectre. That's if you haven't seen it, it's in Spectre.
So Joel Zammit, as the audience surrogate here, that scene I just described.
Yes.
How true do you think that is?
Did it win an Oscar?
No.
Best scene of that year?
It didn't win an Oscar.
Bullshit. Surely not.
100%.
Like, surely there's elements with it.
I would tell you, I've seen it word for word accurate. And do you know how I know? Unforgettable cinema. That's how we both could retain the knowledge of step by step how the scene happens.
Yeah. Including...
like the last bit where he's shooting elephant cum.
I saw that movie on like a cheap Tuesday, and sitting in front of me was like this row of absolute blokes. And there's a scene in that movie where... one of the brothers Grimsby, they get like a venom injected into their nuts somehow.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's either a cobra or something bites. I can't remember how they get it, but they get venom in their nuts. And then they're like, "You have to suck it out. You have to suck the venom out." And then the bloke sitting in front of me nudges his friends like, "But you like that, don't you?"
actually, I think the only thing I got wrong was that it's actually Sacha Baron Cohen, not Mark Strong, that falls over and his pants fall down and then is getting fucked by the elephant and then is shitting.
Fall down.
I don't know, it's funny.
No belt. It's a big part of the movie is, "I refuse to wear a belt." Actually, I've made that part up. That's the one lie.
You had me. I would have believed it. I did believe
it. The one lie.
Movies, it turns out, can do whatever they want.
Whatever
and
they want.
Sometimes when people don't see a movie, movies get away with scenes like this. Just going...
unnoticed.
Yeah, unnoticed.
No one knows about this.
People... that scene will never get lost to time because in 10 years will discover
oral history.
Yeah.
It's oral history now.
Imagine if this was the first, like, as opposed to like seeing that train coming at you and you showed them this scene, people would have killed themselves. They would have had to deal with this.
Yeah, it would have changed comedy forever. Wow.
Imagine what jokes we'd have now if that was the first on cinema screen joke.
Yeah. Imagine. Wow.
Imagine. They might take it quite seriously back then. They might go, this is quite dangerous.
Yeah, this is... Man should not have so much power to know how to pleasure an elephant.
From within.
Yeah. Oh, another aspect of it is they realize the type of elephant is one that fucks for hours or whatever, which is why they're jerking it off. Insight.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I get... to be honest, I don't know if given as much... It's given all the time in the world. I don't know if I could pleasure an elephant. Mm. So well done to the brothers Grimsby for like working out that puzzle. Because honestly, that seems like a hard puzzle
and
to solve.
Well done to Australia's own Rebel Wilson for reading that script and signing on to that film.
Yeah. I'll have to take a moment to apologize.
Okay, so you know how we're in a constant state of chaos and fighting for our lives every single day on this godforsaken earth? Between work and everything else falling apart around me, I have not had it together enough to meal prep or plan dinner or honestly function like a normal human being most weeknights. Cooking something good is hard, and I deserve a modicum of joy every now and again. That's why I've turned to Omaha Steaks. My freezer is full. That's sorted. It is genuinely the one part of my life running smoothly. Real steaks, burgers, seafood, chicken, sides, all shipped to my door. So even on the nights where everything else is on fire, dinner isn't one more thing to stress about. I made the burgers the other night, didn't even have the energy to think, just pulled them out, threw them on the grill, and they tasted like something from an actual steakhouse. Somehow, the one corner of my life that's together is the one I didn't even have to think about. If you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the easiest way in. 20 premium steak burgers across 5 cuts. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's right, BEEF. B-E-E-F. omahasteaks.com. Promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
All the listeners that are Bond fans saw this title, downloaded it, and then they got a Brothers Grimsby tangent to really rue the day.
If people have heard that description and haven't either immediately opened Wikipedia or YouTube to either watch it or read this thing and be like, did that happen? What are you doing? Yeah. And also, welcome back. Yes, we were telling the truth. That is a real thing.
It is really in the movie.
And it doesn't, it's not like there's no trick. Like, it's not like.
They really did it.
They really did it.
No CGI. No, but also actual elephants.
But also, they don't shy away from showing any of this. Like, you see the elephant dick. They're literally in a vagina. So it's like a weird cave thing that they shoot inside.
What? How did they get in there?
Well, is it's actually movie magic. It will be a set, you know. Okay. There's a freaking, you know.
No, but in the realm of the movie,
they literally just climb in.
So they climb into a live elephant.
Yes, yes.
So it's not like a Jim Carrey.
No. It's a real elephant.
Where he gets into a fake rhino. This is a real elephant. Okay.
In the world of the film, it's a real elephant.
In the world of us, like outside, when you look past the fourth wall of that film to us, the audience, and then if you were to be on the set of the Brothers Grimsby, it's a fake elephant.
Oh, I got that. Yeah. I was just assuming realm of the movie,
it's a real elephant.
Yeah. They get into a
they're on the run. They climb into a real elephant that is alive. Then gets fucked.
This is a lot to
and
take
let me
into
tell
books.
You, I was howling with laughter when I saw this. I wasn't existentially crippled the way you are. I was like, okay, comedy, we've got reached a new zenith. There's a new level that we all have to play at now.
I saw that scene without the context of the film because at work I was doing a cinema check.
Is there context? All right.
Well, I was doing a cinema check and walked in and like that scene just started. And
was there
a
crowd?
There was people in this.
Were they laughing during that scene?
I don't remember any laughter, but also I reckon that even if people were laughing, I wouldn't have heard it because my brain was just like, whoa.
It's overheating you. All the cogs are turning.
How could you watch that in a cinema and not laugh?
Yeah.
You could be horrified.
The little men that work in your brain are like, we're going to have to fucking write all this down. We can't forget what's going on.
I honestly think that like my mouth was probably agape. Like there was I couldn't laugh because my lips couldn't make, there weren't just no touching, no noise. Just. Okay. Alexi, you have a very interesting theory about the constant pushback of No Time to Die.
Yes, which to get back onto Bond.
There is a one line in the trailer where it says he's going to kill millions. Yeah. And there is another line where he says, I just want to tidy the place up.
Yeah.
And Alexi, You have a big theory.
This is my speculative theory as to why James Bond has been constantly and continuously pushed back. I do so believe that this James Bond deals with some sort of impending, a threatening of a global pandemic, a weaponized virus or a biochemical weapon that will like spread death and destruction that would tie in some way too closely to coronavirus. And I think that is why they preemptively did that first block, because it would have been coming out early enough before cinemas were locked down. The premiere was to be in China when the lockdowns were starting. But I think that it was a business decision because they had to open in China as well, because Bond depends on international gross more than domestic gross compared to a lot of other franchises that rely more on the US domestic gross. Bond is more international. That's why it's called Mr. Worldwide. I don't know if that's ever been applied to another guy, but I know James Bond is Mr. International, Mr. Worldwide.
Yeah, I know. I don't think there's anyone else.
I can't
00365.
Yeah.
Mr. 365? Yeah, I think that's right.
I'm not sure, but
I've never heard Bond referred to as that, but that does sound right.
But then I think that that is why we've seen it continuously delayed, because other movies that got delayed, like your Wonder Woman's, have had their releases. Fast and Furious will be released in cinemas now, and that was the other one to get really delayed quite early.
They pushed it back exactly 1 year, and that was like a really sensible and a much smarter decision than what's happened with Bond, because Fast and Furious realized they're about to have to ramp up their – I guess we kind of had a choice. They could either delay it or really ramp up the marketing because it was about to come out. And they were just like, fuck it, it's being pushed back a year. Where everyone else is pushing it back like 2 or 3 months.
And Bond, like, the marketing was basically done.
Yeah.
Like, the song had come out. Everything had been built up. Numerous trailers. Enough about the movie had been put out in the press too. Like, you know, we shouldn't have known that there's going to be a female 007 that has taken the moniker from him. That should have been like, we only knew that because the film was like less than a month away when that started being like part of the press.
Daniel Craig hosted SNL.
He even hosted SNL. I forgot about that.
With The Weeknd.
With The Weeknd. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
See, that's how long ago that was. In my head, The Weeknd when him was like years ago.
No, that was...
I'm thinking 2007. That's how long ago it's been. Yes, from back then. But it actually is a recent occurrence because The Weeknd wasn't even famous then.
Correct. You'll see as in The Weeknd, very easy to realize when he got famous because for some reason that is a key plot point to the film Uncut Gems.
Which you said, I think, 2013?
Yeah, 2013.
Yeah, so he would have been like a high school student or something, 07. Ladies and gentlemen, the weekday, because we haven't reached the weekend yet. Is that funny? Can I just take is that funny? I'm going to take a little heat seeker on that one. But that's what I believe, is that we are dealing with like a James Bond where the plot would be a communicable virus.
Yes.
And they're watching the trailers again. There were some other things, like we noticed there were some vials. Vials very often contain some sort of bacterial chemicals, interesting stuff like that. And I think I noticed a scene where Lea Seydoux and James Bond, played by Daniel Craig, not James Bond and then the actress Lea Seydoux, is in a scene together.
James Bond and his sexy niece.
Yeah, who is Lea Seydoux, but no, she's actually just played by her. But they looked like there was a glass barrier between them because it looked like they couldn't touch. And I believe that she has contracted the virus, and that is where we're getting the Her Majesty's Secret Service, because his wife dies. And I think that is, she's contracted the virus and they can't talk, they can't be with each other anymore because it's highly communicable.
Like an outbreak situation. So it's this kind of thing where maybe even Blofeld is he part of this? Or is he that evil that he injected his daughter with the virus? Now, question.
Stop fucking your uncle and then he injected her with it.
Question. Do you think, though, that they're like delaying this in the hopes that it'll go away?
I think they're probably hoping that enough stuff, because another weird thing that definitely ties into Alexi's theory is pop culture, like pandemics and viruses started to become like a thing that were popping up more and more, which is weird in hindsight, but it happened.
Now, we all watched Contagion multiple times during lockdown. Yeah. It's fine.
Well, yeah, so Contagion's like 2011, 2012. Yeah. So that's prior to what I'm talking about. But like The Spider-Man PlayStation game that has a pandemic in the back half of the game. There is the Falcon and Winter Soldier, which is highly speculated that they cut out a pandemic plotline.
Yeah, that's what's going to sort of bring up.
A Quiet Place kind of has pandemic elements. We've got horror movies definitely started doing it because there's also It Comes at Night. That's a pandemic. The Last of Us.
Absolutely, Last of Us. Playing The Last of Us during like lockdowns, it is a little eerie.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
Great game.
Great game, one of my favorite games of all time. And also, the new Zack Snyder film, Army of the Dead, which is just out now, there is stuff in there. I know this as well because I freaking chatted to the guy.
Oh my God, Zachy.
But there is a scene in that where he was talking about, like, on set that they are, like, you know, zombie films, like social allegories and stuff like that. So there's a line of people trying to enter a safe space. And they're all being have a like a temperature check gun pointed at them to like go, all right, you can go in, you can go in. And he was like, on set, we were like, where should they point it? And I was like, I guess they should do it at the forehead, right? Like he was trying to figure out how to like where it should go. And he's like, yeah, now I fucking have that happen to me every day.
It seems like, and because Bond is very much within like the sphere of pop culture and stuff like that. Seems very likely.
All right. So, again, like I was going to bring up the whole Falcon Winter Soldier because there's that theory where it was like there was this pandemic happening and then they just cut a lot of it out. So do you think the reason why it's being delayed is there's reshoots and re-edits and all those kind of stuff to be like, okay, we had a finished film and we now have to go in and really just kind of get cut happy and ADR a lot of stuff? Or are they like, we're not going to change it. We're going to sit in it because maybe – it'll get better.
Well, I think that I don't think they would have cut it because if they had, then we'd know. Because it's too big of a thing for them to be like, Falcon and Winter Soldier is weird enough that that very clearly in hindsight has happened. But with this, I think if they came out and said, we touch on stuff that's too similar, we've cut it, people would be like, yeah, fair enough. But then also there'd be people being like, how dare you fuck with James Bond? Yeah. I've waited my entire life for this film. Go to hell. Release the whoever's directing it cut.
Yeah, it's I'll True kill Detective you. Guy.
Oh, yeah, shit.
Cut. Yeah, the True Detective guy cut.
Season one cut.
Yeah. Beast of No Nation guy cut. But then I we would have found out, I agree with you there, if they had done cuts. But I would also say that the delays that this film has had, the hit to monetarily, like that they've had to take doing that, is quite gargantuan.
Yeah.
That would be the cost that would – more than the cost perhaps that they would have set aside for reshoots, but they would have already done their original scheduled reshoots before this anyway. But I think that we're talking like ballpark like $50 million in like lost fees because of this freaking like constant continuous delays.
Yeah. Daniel Craig will – here's another thing that you can lock in. Daniel Craig fucking hates his life at the moment because he didn't want to do this film.
Yeah.
And then apparently signed on.
He hates doing the press for them as well.
And he would have had to do the press circuit. By the time this comes out, three times for the same movie.
I can't imagine what the actual release is going to look like now. I really can't imagine this movie coming out.
Yeah, it's weird.
But I'll be honest as well, like when it was originally coming out, this is a little peek behind the curtain. I was telling you boys about this before, but Cam and I on Total Reboot, we were planning to do like a James Bond mini series where we'd do like one film per generational actor of James Bond. And we were teeing it up to tie into this movie. And I started watching like an old Roger Moore, or like Timothy Dalton one. And I used to love James Bond. That's why I've got that big box set. I just used to adore them so much. They were kind of a bit of a gateway for me into cinema originally as a kid.
Yep.
And I fucking hated watching it. I made it like 14 minutes in and I was like, I cannot stand this. And then I was like, and they're all the same. The plot are almost identical to all of them. And I was like, I dread it. I dreaded it. I even got like the email going like, you're invited to the James Bond media screening. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to fucking go. I don't want to watch it. I don't want to do them. I'm over it. But watching those trailers today, I'm actually really hyped to see it again now.
Yeah. Like, it does seem like, it looks fun. It looks fun.
Yeah. I hope it's about a pandemic.
Yeah, why not? That's it. Well, I hope they just don't tie in too much to the previous films because I don't remember them.
Well, I'm going to watch Spectre for the first time soon because this trailer also got me excited. And I feel like Spectre is going to flatten me out a bit. Yep. But then I'm going to force myself to go to the cinema to watch No Time to Die anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll have a good time, and I'll be like, I'm back.
Yeah. I'll be like, I had a good time, but I don't know what happened. So I reckon it's going to happen. So okay, so we open up. I think you're right, Lex. I think we're going to open up, and it's going to be like, oh, 007 is doing this thing, and we see like some sweet stunts, and it's all like maybe at night in shadows. We don't really know what's going on. It's all either at like a distance or like real close up, and we're like, fuck, that's sick. Mm. And then, of course, the reveal that it's not James Bond 007.
Yep.
It's another James Bond, another 007. You're like, oh, what's happened to old Jamie boy?
Yep.
And then we're going to do that. And then do you reckon we're going to cut to old James, or are we going to be like, he's only going to appear somewhere down the track? Like, what do you think James Bond is doing? How are we going to be introduced to James Bond if it's not in that opening scene?
I think it'll be opening scene, like Alexia said. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to get the villain meeting up with new 007. Mm-hmm. Something will happen there. Mm-hmm. You get the title intro.
Oh, yeah.
So I reckon title card, maybe like 15 minutes into the film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're seeing, you know, Billie Eilish's songs coming out. She's like, I'm the bad guy.
Dude, I don't know. I don't think that's a song.
No. Yeah, and she's got all the bad guys from all the old James Bond movies, like, like just jumping around.
I'm the bad guy.
They're all doing like Cossack dances.
And then after the title card, I reckon it goes to Bond at like a tropical beach or whatever.
Yeah. I was imagining him being in a beach. Like, a tropical beach.
I think it's because he's done it multiple times.
Yeah. Sucking down a mimosa or something.
He's doing a Corona. He's got a Corona in Skyfall. Oh, or is a Heineken?
A Heine, yeah.
Yeah.
Toretto does the Coronas.
Correct. Correct. Toretto, family barbecue Coronas. Mm-hmm. James Bond is sitting by himself. Yeah. Heineken's at the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, can I get that shaken and actually also stirred. I'm a weird guy. Pour it into a jug, shake it up, get a spoon in it.
The bartender grabs the Heineken and starts shaking it. Like,
it's like, snower.
Pops it up, goes everywhere. Like, he's like, yeah, that's how I like it. That's
I like
good.
That.
Yeah.
It reminds me of when I ejaculate because I fuck a lot of women.
Yeah.
Okay, dude.
Yeah. I'm a chauvinist. I'm cool.
That's cool, dude.
I'm obsessed with women. I love them. I'm not gay, I promise.
I know. Here's your beer. That's all head. Enjoy.
Oh, it's all head. That's what she said. Yeah, I love my entendres.
Dude, it's just me and you on this empty beach. I don't know why my James Bond
is Mick Jagger.
Give me one of those. Okay.
I can get satisfaction.
All right. Do you want me to stir the frost?
Stir it up.
I'll go get a spoon.
Get that spoon and feed me with the froth. Feed the froth into me.
All right, Mr. Bond, here's your beer froth,
Oi, Keith,
sir.
Get over here. Suck the froth off this one.
Just like a bartender just crying. I'm getting paid not enough for this.
It tastes so good. Let me give it 40 licks.
It's just frothy beer. It's just frothy beer.
Oh, I like it frothy.
He's doing it so wrong.
Then after Bond eats his frothy beer, he'll probably get contacted by, it won't be M and it won't be Q, because we get
Moneypenny.
Moneypenny.
Yes.
Either Moneypenny or...
What if
Hot niece.
What if he's on the beach and the waiter, someone comes in and he's like, Mr. Bond, this is for you. And he pulls down his tray and there it is, a porcelain dog.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And he picks it up and it's a phone, dude.
Oh my God.
I reckon it is Felix. Felix Leiter.
Oh, yeah, shit.
Played by Jeffrey Wright of Westworld, of Angels in America.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's what our audience here would be most familiar with.
Yeah,
the Angel in America miniseries from the early 2000s.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. With what's her name from Weeds?
Yes.
Weeds reference.
She is in there.
Yeah. Also, the uncle is. Uncle Andy's in there.
Uncle
that
Andy,
as well.
That's where they would have met.
Yeah.
And of course, Al Pacino's in it. So we got Meryl Streep. Next time, can we do a speculation on the freaking Angels in America?
Yeah, sure.
That'll be it. That's my excitement one.
Yeah.
One of the great miniseries HBO's ever produced. But
sure
I reckon that it's Felix, who's played by Jeffrey Wright from the aforementioned Angels in America, also from another HBO miniseries, The Last OG.
Oh.
Actually, I don't even know if that's what it's called. I think it's just called OG.
Mm.
Sorry, guys. I fucked up. I don't know. I was trying to pull another Jeffrey Wright thing out of my head. head, but he's like the CIA.
And look, audience, I know this one won't appeal to you, but he also plays Commissioner Gordon in the new Batman film, I believe.
Oh, yeah. You guys might not get that.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that we're a real HBO miniseries crowd here on the podcast.
Let's get some Show Me a Hero talking in this episode, I reckon. Oscar Isaac, yeah. HBO miniseries.
Yeah.
Based on
a
true story. Very sad event.
Exactly.
Very sad. Okay, so yeah, so the American counterpoint to Bond is going to be like, stuff's going down.
Yeah, shit's fucked, bro. Get back there.
So do you reckon, in the introduction of, say, the new 007 is maybe where we get the Mask Boy, Rami Malek, and like he's still got his beautiful face and he's got the mask on, and something happens, he's like, oh, I'm going to get this virus, I'm going to release it, and then she does something, and then it kind of blows up in his face, and he gets she basically saves the world, but not 100%, like, she kind of like 80%, you know?
She saves the world, but she gives him more motivation to fuck shit up much harder.
Yeah.
Also, the mask, as we see it, like, presented when it's not fucked, maybe M or... Let's say M, Ralph Fiennes, because Ralph Fiennes also, M seems to have, I don't know why I'm switching between the two. I could say either and everyone will know what I'm talking about.
Well, some people could be imagining Judi Dench.
I was.
That's true. Yeah.
She died.
I know.
Not in real life.
Yeah, but
Dame,
I forgot.
Dame Judi Dench, still healthy as she's ever been.
Yep.
Yeah, she's up to her 9 lives as a cat these days.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Remember, they're not dogs.
No, that's correct.
Yeah, the final message of the movie.
Yeah, cats are not dogs.
Cats are not dogs.
But what about cat dog? Okay, it's half dog, half cat down the middle.
That's true.
Ralph Fiennes opens the thing, sees the mask, and he'll be like, send in 007. Mm. And then it cuts to the thing. You're like, ah, 007.
Yes.
So maybe that's how it'll open. But you can't have, the movie can't open with a character just opening a thing and being like,
No, I think maybe the mask, he gets that mask to be like, they think maybe that the villain is dead, because 007 was like, I blew it up. His face was on fire. I saw it as fuck.
I saw him die.
And then they get that mask and it's like, oh no, that's his calling card that he's coming back. Kind of like a Batman villain being like, here is this.
Yeah.
Our audience probably don't understand that.
I've got
it's a comic book
evidence bag full with a tiny bit of a mask in there. Does this mean anything to you?
Could be anybody's.
Oh boy, yeah. I got a freaky friend.
Yeah,
I got a freaky mate that does that kind of shit.
So Bond drinks his frothy beer. Then he's
meets up with Felix at a bar. Felix. Mm-hmm. Felix is like, shit's been fucked since you've been gone, bro. You got to head back. Mm-hmm. Bond will be like, I've gone rogue. And Felix will be like, it's bigger than that.
Yeah. And it's actually, you know what? Kind of perfect to your rogue. Yeah, you're not affiliated at the
moment. Is he gone rogue? Or is like, I've quit.
No, they think he's dead because Q seems very shocked to see him.
So maybe he's like, I'm dead. I'm gone. I'm a ghost.
And Felix is like, some ghosts,
protocol, dude.
Yeah, some ghosts shouldn't stay dead.
Oh, wow. I like
powerful.
I was a co-writer on the film. I should have probably said, this is very based.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
They gave me a pass at it. They're like, Joel Dusha, give us a hand. Yeah. I'm like,
we got the two old blokes. We got Fleabag. Now let's get this guy on here.
Oh, yeah,
frothy
I forgot.
Beer.
Yeah,
frothy
Fleabag's
beer.
Riding it.
Oh, yeah, she is.
Yeah.
That actually probably ties into opening the film with new 007 on a mission, because that seems like something that
real Killing Eve vibe.
Fuck with expectations as well. Huge.
Look, if they open it and have that, and then it goes like, cuts to Bond and he's on a beach sinking piss, but he's got a bit of a pot belly.
Yeah, I love that. I want to see him do a COVID test during the movie.
But like a COVID test that he can't handle it. He's not good at it.
He gets flashbacks of the drill going into his brain when it's going up his nose.
Yeah. He's like,
starts coughing and crying.
Yeah.
That's
just like, a good like 6-minute uncut. Like, just no edits, just one take of him just, like, psyching himself up and being like, I can't do it. I can't do it. No.
When they go for the second nostril, he's just like,
give
me a second.
My eyes are weeping. I'm so sorry. Be great if this person's like, this is not shaking. It is stirred. It starts mixing the little...
a little bit of vomit over his lip.
So he'll then head back to England, presumably, and be like, what's
the
up,
United
M?
Kingdom.
Yep, that's it. Home of the Queen.
Yes.
She's in it. She's there. Lizzie.
She's there. She's in a James Bond short film the Olympics.
She is. Well done, Lizzie. Well
done. Liz.
Acting her little heart out.
Yeah, that would have got her on an IMDb page. I mean, she probably would have already had one, but.
And always as self. I'd love to see her do some more character work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why not?
Like she plays like, you know, some lady on EastEnders or something like that. I would love that.
Oh, we've got a new neighbor moving in done.
Oh, hello. It's me, Peggy Mitchell's sister. Margaret Mitchell.
Oh, Margaret, we love your two little dogs.
Yes, they're corgis. I like them.
I also like to drive cars.
Yes, I drive a Range Rover.
Lizzie, see, pick up the phone.
Yeah, exactly.
Any studio would be happy to have you.
And they can incorporate your real life so you don't have to try too hard.
You don't need to accept. You just need to answer to a name that isn't yours.
Exactly. We just gave you a wonderful example of how it would work.
Yeah. Exactly. You can bring the dogs.
Yeah, bring the dogs. Talk about the Land Rover.
Yeah. The dogs would also get an IMDb page.
Yeah.
So Bond heads back to the England, obviously meets up with MI6. They're probably going to be like, Bond, we don't want to see you.
Yeah.
And he'll be like, it's bigger than this.
We've already given your number up.
Yeah. Mm. And he'll be like,
you idiots, this cunt's back. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be like, no, that's been taken care of. And then he'll be like, I got this in the mail and it was another porcelain face or something.
He'll team up with the new 007.
Yeah. They'll become mates.
Yeah, I would usually say if this movie was coming out not in the last 2 years, but prior to that she will die 100%, but I don't think they'll do that.
I'm thinking it's the opposite. I actually do think that this will be a passing of the torch.
Ooh, fuck.
I really do think, because I think that we're at a point now with this franchise and the way that franchises go these days, I think people have more of a hard time suspending their disbelief with recasting. I think
that's fair.
I think that is a thing. I think, you know, even though with James Bond, we've got a great history of like going like, okay, it's a new character. I can suspend my disbelief, whether it's a continuing story or that it is just all standalone things and they all happen within a vacuum of each other.
Yeah.
But I think that now, you know, Marvel, we have like is the biggest franchise in the world. The only recastings they've ever had is like Terrence Howard and Don Cheadle. There's a couple of smaller ones like that, but we haven't seen a big one. And now Chadwick Boseman is not being replaced. They're changing the story.
Yeah.
And I think that is kind of like the direction I feel things are in. Like, you know, Star Wars, I feel, will be the same where we don't do recastings of big characters. Yeah. I feel like that's kind of where we're at. And I think that they'll shift from James Bond to be the franchise is 007 now.
Yeah.
They're continuing the adventures in the same world.
Yeah, that makes sense. Also,
so we won't get in like a next James Bond film. We'll just get 007.
I think that'll be at least for
that'd
one
be
cycle.
Cool.
At least for one cycle. Maybe it's only three movies or something. But I feel like that could be the next direction.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when they recast Doctor Who as Jodie Whittaker. Yeah, Whittaker. Yeah, also in a TV series that people like. Mm-hmm. What's that one?
Broadchurch.
Yes.
Yes.
Is that?
I've never seen
that's
it.
That's correct. Good.
Yeah, I've seen the first season, actually. Yes, I loved it.
David Tennant's in it, isn't he?
David Tennant. And
oh my God.
So is the Queen from The Crown.
The Queen.
Yes.
From The Crown. Coleman.
Yeah, Olivia Coleman, the Queen.
Yes. Well, that's a heavy hitter cast. Two Doctors and the Queen.
Mm. Yeah. Now that is a name for a TV show.
Two Doctors and the Queen.
It's just Lizzie being like, I would like a second opinion.
That's actually a good improv troupe, actually. If Lizzie wants to do that, that is good shit.
Do we think, if it's a passing of the torch film, is James Bond going to die?
Oh, No Time to Die. Wow.
I think there's a chance.
Yeah.
I don't. I reckon they're going to give him a happy ending.
Happy ending?
I think he's going to go off with his...
jerking off on a beach. I do like the sound of that.
I think he's going to go off with his sexy wife niece.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be...
Weiss.
Because I think... Weiss. No, I think she dies. I think she dies.
Not his Weiss!
But yeah, then we've got the new one in there. Ana de Armas is the new Bond girl. We only see a little bit of her in the trailers.
Yeah, fuck, I forgot about her.
Is she also related to Bond?
That's my speculation.
Okay.
Is that she plays his direct descendant?
She plays his actual sister. Yeah. They look into the barrel of the camera and being like, we're not cowards. We're doing actual incest. None of this bullshit incest.
Yeah.
Forget about my Weist. What about my Wister?
Yeah. And it's actually he marries Diane Weist, beloved character actress.
Oh.
Yeah. I just thought of another thing that I think is going to happen. Yeah. This is a call. When we have that cold open, the person that shoots down that barrel at the start of the movie is the new 007.
Mm. That's a huge call because in the trailer, we get Bond turning in, like Daniel Craig turning in
but
a corridor.
But that's in like some kind of sewer or whatever.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I reckon we've got that. I reckon that is going to be in the movie.
That'll be huge. What if it's
and
reversed?
And then I reckon
though?
It's going to make men go crazy.
Yeah, they will. They are going to love it.
We can't have anything anymore. It. We can't even be James Bond. It was my dream to become James Bond.
Now chicks have taken that from us. I hope that, I think what'll probably happen if it's a passing of the torch, the opening scene, they'll do it twice. They'll do down the barrel of the gun to start the movie with Bond. Like Daniel Craig, and then towards the end, she'll do it.
I reckon actually Daniel Craig will play the MGM lion. He's going to be roaring.
Wow. Men can still do things, is what he'll say.
Men can still be lions.
So
the next movie, when it's her taking over, will be a lioness.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's what I reckon. MGM will be a lioness.
And she'll play the lion. She'll be like...
So... Alexi, just tying into your pandemic thing. Mm-hmm. So do you think that the villain is going to like win briefly? So the pandemic's going to get released?
Oh, yeah, I reckon.
Yeah?
I reckon. But it will be, yeah. But it also, maybe that's part of it's like, it is way less bad than how things have actually
that
been.
Actually could be, like, it's just a threat and they're like, millions of people could get sick.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, we fucking know.
It spills out to some weird little rural town in some like Sicily or some shit. Yeah. And like,
oh my God, they've sunk Venice.
Yeah. I reckon it'll be something like that where it like maybe that's part of it is like the world actually did get far worse than the plot of a James Bond movie.
Yeah.
That's I like that.
Well, I mean, I hate it, but it is possible.
Sucks. No. So we've got a lot of cowards in the room. I'm actually team pandemic.
Who do you think that old mate Raimi, who is he targeting? Is it just like indiscriminate or is he being like, you know, people over like say an annual income of this?
Yeah.
Or is he looking at certain kind of like, is it, you know, geopolitical?
I reckon it could be a Thanos-y thing.
Mm. Just random.
World's too fucked. Mm. People are the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because he says...
Eco-terrorist.
He's an environmentalist.
Yeah, sort of. Because he says, I just want to do some tidying up or something like that. So that sounds like that he just wants to wipe out.
I'm trying to fix the ozone, okay? And this is the ho-zone. No, fellas, okay? He's trying to eradicate all men.
This movie is just like...
But he's still a misogynist. Just like every James Bond character. Still a misogynist.
Oh, wow.
Well, so if we were to fill out the famous BS Boys bingo card, and Alexi, this might be a new concept to you, but basically every episode we like to give the audience a piece of paper with a bingo card on it with our very, very well thought out speculations, and they take that with them to the cinema to see the film, and then at the end of the film, quietly place it in the bin untouched.
Virgin untouched paper.
Because nothing
the
gets
bin.
Ticked off.
Just being like, once again, the BS Boys have fucked me again as they place that carefully into that
so
bin.
So I think a couple of safe bets for this are Passing of the Torch film.
Yes, safe bet. I reckon that is in there.
Oh, well, yeah.
Pandemic, right in the middle.
Oh, yeah, 100%. That's a big
bang. That's the middle square pandemic film.
And it could be ticked, it could not be. I don't know. It's speculation here. I'm going to put Royal Dalton Dog, the ceramic bulldog. I think that we'll get minimum a little ECU, a little close up. Close up on it for like just one thing, and then they have like an awkward moment around it.
Yeah.
So I'm putting the ceramic bulldog in there.
Just a little awkward ceramic bulldog moment. I think you're right on the money there.
Daniel Craig to look down the barrel of the camera and say, this is my weese, my wife niece.
Frothy beer. Love it.
Frothy beer.
Mick
frothy.
Jagger orders a beer in the movie for a few minutes. I reckon that's it.
I'm just trying to think, again, the motivation of Rami Malek. I'm just trying to work out in terms of like, what do we know? And he's like, he wants to tidy the world. What does that mean? Is he trying to be like, I'm going to try and say, kill the poor?
Yeah.
Or... eat the rich.
Yeah.
Is it going to divide in terms of like, is it a class thing where it's like money? Is this kind of like motivation? Or is it going to be a random thing? Or is it going to kind of be like countries? Or is it going to be like, you know, certain ethnicities? What kind of villain
eco.
Is he going to be?
I reckon eco was good, but that you're right. Like, the virus might be targeting someone. Maybe he's targeting older generation. What if he's men. Like the Greta Thunberg villain, where he's just like, it's everyone older than 48.
Fair enough. Get rid of them.
Smokers only.
Because I'm trying to think, in Quantum Solace, that was about water?
Yeah. Don't think too hard.
Yeah, it was about water.
There's an eco thing there.
Yeah.
They've definitely done eco stuff before.
Yeah.
I think it's another set. Blofeld to die, I reckon.
Nah, I reckon Blofeld to live.
Blofeld to live?
I reckon Lea Seydoux die.
Yep.
No.
Lea Seydoux.
You need
Lea Seydoux. Lea Seydoux.
But you're missing the beautiful scene where Blofeld in his. I mean, is he in a wheelchair in this movie?
He's just strapped. Is he fucked? I think he's strapped.
Okay, well, either way.
His head is fucked.
So him walking down his niece in the middle, like down an aisle, hands off to his. Brother.
So his son-in-law. He hands Blofeld hands his daughter off to his brother to marry.
I think they're just mates. Okay, I think they were just former.
And they'll be like, now I know you have. Look, she may be your niece, but now she's also your niece.
And you are my son. Son's crying.
I've always looked at you like a brother, but now I can see you as my son.
And then maybe Kill Bill style. Then we can still have Lea Seydoux.
Yeah.
And also Bond's motivation to get back into the game.
I think that's one of them.
You killed my waist, I'll kill you.
I also would say this is a twofer. I would say one tick for 007 female cold open. I reckon that is plausible. When we were saying that, I believed it.
Oh, yeah, that's big.
And I reckon you get that bonus tick. If she shoots down the barrel.
Oh, yeah.
If that is her barrel scene.
I'm going to go as far as to say as two barrel scenes in this film. One each.
Yeah, I would go two barrel scenes.
And another very important part of this BS Boys bingo card, and this might be the last one, is that you, the audience, furiously Google the plot of the Brothers Grimsby to see if we were lying to you and are still shocked to find out no, that scene does happen in the exact detail that Alexei and Jill Dusha explained it.
Or like word for word, word for word. We got the dialogue right in that scene. It was the most switched on my brain's ever been going, like, you're going to fucking imprint this into your head.
Yeah,
I think I could reshoot that scene and it would look exactly the same.
It's not even sweeted, dude. Like, it's fully remade.
I'm confident.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe last
I could
question.
Do photorealistic animation and I don't even know how to draw. It would look exactly like it.
Do you think in this Bond film there will be anything, like any scene, either a simple shot or a sequence or anything like that, where it'll have a lasting impact of cinema like the Brother Grimsby?
Nothing will come close.
Yeah.
To the impact that one scene has made on my brain.
The closest Bond has ever come to doing that for me is, I believe it's in one of the Roger Moore ones. Maybe it's in A View to a Kill. No, that's not him.
I think A View to a Kill.
Yeah, A View to a Kill is him. I was thinking of License to Kill.
Not him.
A lot of things to kill in these franchises.
Kill, die.
Yeah. But then there's a shot in that where James Bond is on a boat that goes on land somehow, like in Venice, something like that. It's like a motorized gondola that I think it goes on land. And then there's a pigeon that does a double take. It's a close-up of a pigeon where they like roll it and then reverse it so it does a double take. And I'm like, that's the closest you get to Grimsby in Bond.
I think the closest that I've come is, James Bond just getting whipped in the nuts. His dick and nuts.
How is dick and nuts going to be in this film?
I reckon.
Lovingly caressed or they're going to be whipped?
Well, you said you wanted that happy ending.
I did say that.
Yeah.
Lovingly caressed by his waist.
I think they'll go, maybe he gets shot in the dick and the nuts by new 007 because the film, that's an anti-men agenda, obviously.
It's like a tranquilizer dart or something like that.
And he puts his balls to sleep.
He's poisonous. And he's like, you got to suck this out. And we get another Grimsby moment. Other Grimsby moment that gets put together.
If we can get a scene in this of Ralph Fiennes sucking the venom out of Daniel Craig's like nuts.
Enlarged and gorged nuts. Sack.
I will stand up. I'll clap. I will applaud.
I'll be the guy in this movie like, oh, you like that, don't you?
Mm.
I'll be the guy.
Yeah, you'll be the guy.
Hey, you love
you
this.
You like
scene.
That, don't you? Nudge, nudge. You like that, don't you?
Alternatively, rather than being a Grimsby reference, maybe Bond will then look directly down the barrel of the camera and be like, oh no, I've lost me mojo.
Yes.
It'll be a Spy Shagmi reference.
I would love it when circle. When his waist dies like, hang on a tick, that means I'm single again.
Yeah. So I think another successful episode and another virgin piece of paper for you, the audience, to enjoy.
I actually think we got a few ticks there. I think we got a few ticks on this one.
Oh, finally. Yeah. And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Joel.
And I've been Alexi Toliopoulos.
And Alexi, where can we find you?
You can find me on this very network weekly with Total Reboot. Cameron James, very funny boy, and I now just do big mini-series where we find an interesting topic in film and kind of curate a little interesting film festival around it.
Yep.
We just did Screen Ages, all about teen films mm-hmm. in cinema. And the mini-series we're just about to start is, this actually might be the first time we're saying it on the record, it is called Australian Psycho.
Whoa.
And we are talking about bad and dangerous blokes in Australian cinema, how the Australian culture is obsessed with these like Australian psychos.
That's very exciting. There's a lot of very grubby Australian movies out there.
We're talking Chopper, Mad Max, stuff like that, you know?
That sounds great.
Wolf Creek and all that.
Yeah, well, he's actually a real grub, so maybe Wolf Creek might only be mentioned in passing.
Okay, fair enough.
And also, I'll give a shout out as well, because I think people will like this. Mm-hmm. On the other podcast I do for Netflix, The Big Film Buffet, we did do a Q&A with Zack Snyder at Supernova. So if you want to hear me talk to Mr. Zachary Snyderino himself about The Army of the Dead, that's available on The Big Film Buffet podcast.
That's huge. And this has been another episode of Baseless Speculation. And we've been the BS boys.
Thanks for listening to Baseless Speculation. Remember to rate and review us on iTunes, and if you want us to hear about your baseless speculations, just email us in at baselessspeculation@gmail.com, and to continue the conversation, head on over to our Sandspants Discord or Facebook group. Links to those are in the show notes.